as we bring on the minister this morning that will be ministering the word of God on this Palm Sunday. I'm very proud of this woman, not just because she's my wife, but I'm very proud of her work ethics, her study ethics, because she presses her way into that Bible. She don't just take what I say for granted. She finds out for herself. Amen. I love her because she has taken a lot off of me. There are a lot of things that I had to do that I no longer have to worry about. She takes care of me. And she's very efficient at what she does. So I want you to put your hands together, your First Lady and Pastor Martina Gardner. A big hand. She's on the mission for you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, thanking you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, those that we thought, said, and did that was not pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. Now, as we partake of your word, the bread of life, Heavenly Father, we ask that it resonate in our spirit, dwell in our hearts, so that we may apply it to our lives. We're nothing without you. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise, for it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Yep, that's good. That's good. Still a little backlash, but we're going to work with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was going to say good morning. Yeah, it's still morning. Good morning. We are excited today. Why? Because it's another day that the Lord has made. Amen? We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter that it's I'm glad that we're able to assemble ourselves on a Sunday, but every day we come together and we meet our brothers and sisters, we are assembling ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I am totally, totally excited. Please forgive me because I'm excited and I'm emotional at the same time. Last night, I went, yesterday evening, we went to go see Perilous Times. And no matter how many times you see that play, it's always something different the following year, the following year, the following year. If you have not seen Perilous Times, I recommend that you go. The show starts tonight. It's the last night. It starts at 7:30. Pastor should have us out of here by 5 this evening, so box office may still be open if you want to go. But they will be back next year, and I recommend that you go. It's awesome how you see the Bible come to life. So as I prepared for today and then to go and see that play, it just kind of topped it off. So I'm real emotional and I'm real full anyway. I cry all the time, as you can see. So bear with me today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you something. As it relates to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can you see him? Question number one. Question number two. As it relates to society, can they see him in you? Question number three, as it relates to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, society, and us, can they see him or do they see you? Think about it. So as we talk about him, and I use him, the acronym, meaning humble, uncorruptible, invisible, Messiah. That's him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's humble. He's uncorruptible. I'm sorry, incorruptible, invisible, and he is the Messiah. So can you see him? Can they see him in you? Or do they see him or you? Sometimes we get full of ourselves and they no longer see Christ in you, but they see you in you. That's when we get full and boastful of ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, we talk about, and of course, you know, everyone has to have their pens and papers because I have scriptures. Now, I don't have a set scripture today, but this is what I want you to write down, because this is the introduction. Matthew 1:18-12, and Luke 2:1-20. This talks about Jesus' birth, how he came to be in the world. Matthew gives it step by step how it came to be, even going all the way back to his mother Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, the angel coming to speak to Mary and coming to speak to Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah. And then they talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. They also talk about how King Herod decided to kill all the children, 2 and under, because he heard of the king who was born of this world. Now, in your reading, and I want to point something out to you in Matthew, there is, let's go there. I didn't want to do it, but I have to. Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, not Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, and go down to verse 8. It's something I want to point out to you. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, and this is King Herod, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. What I want to point out to you is in verse 8, do you see that word child? It's a capital C. Christ is a capital C. So even in his birth, he was already exalted. He was already exalted. So we knew. And in our reading, we knew that from a child, he was already exalted and he was already had dominion over the world. But that's how he had to come, as a child. You don't see any other part of the context in the book. Throughout the book, you see the word child. There's a small C. But when they're talking about Jesus Christ as a child, it's a capital C. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to point that out about his birth. Now, throughout Christ's years of ministry. Throughout Christ's years of ministry, when it was time for him to minister, because we wasn't there, they were in amazement in everything that he did. Everything that he did, from healing the sick and bringing the dead back to life, and blinded eyes are seeing, and those who were deaf can hear, and those who were lame can walk. He does so many things. Those who are hungry, 5,000 plus, he fed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm saying all of this to say this. When Jesus came, the very first time he came as a child. Now, I could take it back, past the teacher, and said when he first came was in Genesis, when he was with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost, and they said, let us make man in our image. That was actually his very first coming. Amen? Amen. But for him to come down into the human flesh first time as a child, they wanted to kill him. As a child, they wanted to kill him. Can you imagine that? Your child is born, and you mean to tell me that the king of Jerusalem wants to kill all of the children from age 2 on down just to get to yours? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine losing your child because they think that he's the Messiah? That was demonic back then. That hurts. I cannot imagine a mother losing their child. My grandmother lost, before her demise, she lost some children. And I said, Mom, I was like, I know this is a really, really dumb question, but how do you get through knowing that your children left before you? And she said, baby, all I can say is I know Jesus, and they not suffering no more. Right. That's all she could say, because she had nothing else. Right. We are children. We are vessels, mothers and fathers, because it took two. But we are vessels. God uses us. Remember, he said that he knew us when we were in our mother's womb. We're all vessels being used. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So when they first was born, they tried to kill him. As a child. As a child. And that King Herod was sick and demonic. He was on some of everything. Yeah. He was everything that represents the flesh. Right. He was a liar. He was an adulteress. He was gay. He was psychotic. And I know he was taking opium back then. He was on drugs. Everything that represent the flesh, that's what King Herod was doing. He was sitting up there talking to himself. What? There's a king out here that wants to take my place? After all I done for them? Mind you, he hasn't done nothing, but let him tell it in his own thoughts. That's what he could not grasp. Is how is a child going to be born and be king after all that I have done? Who is this? Remember that saying. Who is this? Who is this? They said, who is this child at birth? So as Christ goes through his life and he is going into, working into his ministry. He's doing all of these miraculous things. Now there comes a time, and as you recall on the Transfiguration, on the Mount Transfiguration, where he goes and he meets with Moses and Isaiah, Enoch. I'm sorry. He transformed into his glory because they knew he was getting ready to go through something. Don't forget your mission. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, don't forget your mission. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, there was a meeting, and he was in his glory. He transformed from regular clothes to all white because that's how they knew him, in all white. So now he has, remember your assignment. And just before and right after the Transfiguration, now we're getting ready to have the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Triumphant entry, which we call today, is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Now, remember how Jesus came into the world, the first time. He came in as a child. Low and meek, helpless, as humans, as we are in ourselves. We're low, we're meek, we're helpless, as the babies are. Amen? Amen. Now, check out how he comes in on the triumph entry. This particular day, he's going, getting ready to go into Jerusalem. He stops at Bethany. Now, as you know, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew translates it as he rides in on a, for children's ears, on a donkey. He doesn't ride in on a donkey, excuse me. He calls and asks for two disciples to go and fetch him a donkey and a colt. Two animals in Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John only talks about the colt. Unbroken colt, forgive me. Now, you look at it and says, why is it different? Why in Matthew it says that he asked for a donkey and a colt? And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he just asked for the colt. Well, in Matthew, because Matthew description is different from Mark, Luke, and John, because it depicts the picture of Jesus' life from birth. And it goes in detail, 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 detail. Matthew refers to the two animals as the whole work of his ministry. They put the clothes on the donkey and they put the clothes on the colt for him to sit on the clothes. Now, his purpose, don't forget, his purpose was to triumph into Jerusalem because that's where he was going, into Jerusalem. Now, when he goes into Jerusalem, he's sitting on the colt, but his clothes are on the donkey. The disciples, and I'm just not talking about the 12, I'm talking about all of his disciples. Everyone that had been witnessing everything, the rising of Lazarus. Everyone that had been following him, everything, seeing all of his miracle workers, his miracle works and signs had been following him. So when he gets there, they're throwing clothes on the donkey, they're putting clothes on the colt, and they've taken off branches off the trees. And they're laying all of this down in front of him. Now they say, and now the branches represent the palms. But they're laying all of this down in front of him. Now, his mission in Matthew, as it relates to Matthew, is he gonna give Jerusalem one last time. okay? He gives Jerusalem one last time to receive him as the king that he is and the kingdom that he represents. Our reference scripture to that for Matthew, the book of Matthew, is the prophecy fulfillment. So everything in Matthew, he's fulfilling the prophecy. He's fulfilling the prophecy from Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9 talks about that, his first coming. Write that down. Zechariah 9:9. First coming of the Messiah from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. That's what the book of Matthew does. It fulfills the prophecy of everything that's in the Old Testament. That's why Matthew is a little different from Mark, Luke, and John, because Matthew fulfills the prophecy. Matthew, Luke, John are witnesses of everything that Jesus Christ did in his ministry. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that was the reason for the two animals in Matthew, was to represent the cleansing of the temple and to be prepared. One more time, I'm going to give you one more chance, Jerusalem, to receive him as king. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, Mark, Luke, and John refers to the one colt as judgment. And that is, you know what? Y'all do. Because y'all still would not receive me. If you do not receive me, there's going to be judgment on your family. There's going to be judgment on your nation. And that's what the cult represented in the other three books, was the judgment on the nation. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, the first time he came at birth. They tried to kill him. The second time they came, he came in low, on a donkey, on a colt, unbroken. He came to be received. Now, from the time that he came to be received from the donkey, on the colt, we're just going to say horse for all purposes intended. Okay? Now that we know the difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're just going to say horse, okay? Everybody with me on that? Okay. Thank you. That was getting a bit much there. A colt, a donkey, unclean, clean. Okay. Okay. So, when I asked you earlier, can you see him, or can they see him in you? That is the purpose. Because in Jesus, as he entered into the world, they couldn't see him. He was a child. They looked for him to kill him. As he entered in the triumph entry, the Palm Sunday, as he coming in and he's telling the people of Israel, of Jerusalem, look, I'm coming to you just like you are. That's who I am. I'm coming to you low. I'm coming to you broken. I'm coming to you afflicted. I'm coming to you downtrodden. I'm coming to you just as you are. I want you to see me for who I am and receive me. That's why he came the way he came, entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which was the translation. It was triumphant entry. Now we call it today Palm Sunday. That's why. Because he wanted to enter into Jerusalem to let the people know that I am just like you. But I still can do all these signs and miracles and wonders. I'm just like you, and I'm just like my Father. So receive me. Receive me. Receive me. Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus is humble. Write these scriptures down. These scriptures represent humble, and I want you to go back and I want you to study them, because that's who we are supposed to be. Christ-like. We're supposed to be in Him. Amen? Okay. So Jesus is humble. Matthew 18:3-6. And 1 Peter 5:6-7. Jesus is incorruptible. Romans 1:16-23. And invisible. 1 Timothy 1:15-17. And then we talk about Jesus. We know He's the Messiah. John 1:41-42. And John 4:24-26. Jesus entered into the heart of man, entered into Jerusalem 3 times. He entered at His birth. He entered in on a donkey. But you know, 3rd time the charm, right? The last time Jesus entered in, He came in His full glory. Hallelujah! He came in His full glory. Now, characteristics of the Messiah is just, having salvation, which meant that He was willing to suffer and He was willing to die just to save all of us. These are characteristics of your Messiah. He's lowly, which means He understands your affliction. He understands you being oppressed. He knows what poverty is like. That's the characteristics of our Messiah. And riding on the donkey, like I said, that represents the lowliness of us. That's what He was willing to do, to show you, I'm just like you, but I'm here to save you. Amen? Amen. Now, what do we do? Sometimes we get involved in ourselves and our situations, and we forget who we are. We forget what we look like. We forget what we look like because we get so engulfed in what we're going through. We forget what we look like. That's why I ask you, can you see Him? Can you see Him? Can they see Him in you? Do they see Him or do they see you? We have to make sure that we understand who we look like. So when someone comes to you and asks you to pray for them, asks you to lay hands, asks you to come and pray for their loved one, guess what? All of these things our Messiah did. He prayed. He healed. He rose them from the dead.
Yes.
Everything that our Messiah did, He said He came so that we can do these things greater. So if He came to show us the way to do these things greater, then that means we can do it. Amen? God said, let us make man in His image. I know for a fact that God did not create me to be a dog. That wasn't His intent. Being dumb is learned behavior. And how that is learned behavior? By doing nothing. I don't want to learn nothing. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just glad with nothing. That's not how He made us. That's not the image that He made us. Our Father is great. Our Father is awesome. Our Father is a scholar. He is the most magnificent. He made us in His image. guess what? We are already intellectual beings when we come out of the womb. Why do you think they say babies already know how to swim? They already know how to swim when they come out of the womb. He made us in his image. Now we don't, but what happens? We lose what we don't use. If we are not using our intellectual being, if we are not using the gifts that he has instilled in all of us, guess what? We will lose it. Everything that he gives to you, every gift that he gives to you, every anointing, everything that he gives to you, it is yours. And guess what? If you don't use it, you will lose it. You got the gift of compassion. If you feeling that you don't want to be compassionate anymore, because I felt like that at one particular time. I didn't want to be compassionate anymore. Why? Because I was tired of people stepping on my feelings. I was tired of they was always dogging me. They was always talking about me. No matter how good I did, everybody always saw the bad in me. I was tired of being compassionate. Until I met a mentor. And I asked him the very first night. I asked him, I said, why is it that the more I give of my love, of my heart, the more that it seems like it's just in vain? And he told me, he said, you cannot change who you are because of someone else. If you are compassionate, that's how God made you. That is a gift. Do not let anybody change you from what God made you. Amen. Amen? Amen? If God made you who you are, who is anybody else to change it? Who is anybody else to change you? And God made all of us beautiful beings because he's beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if we are made beautiful, why are we going to let somebody turn us into being ugly ducklings? That is not of God. That is not what Jesus Christ came down here for. He did not come down here for that. And this is what he was trying to get Jerusalem to understand. But because Jerusalem couldn't get it, Jerusalem handed him over. Jerusalem killed him. He came back in his splendid glory and he saw Saul, one of the head killers. But guess what? Saul was very smart. He was a scholar. Remember, he was made in his image. And because he was made in his image, he used him. And he said, guess what? You are the lowest of all of these. Paul said, I'm the lowest of everybody. I can't look nobody and talk about nobody. After all that I have done, I'm the least of your worries. But I'm going to tell you something. Christ is good. He's everlasting. Remember, I tell you, think on these things. Whatever is pure, whatever is good report, whatever you think on these things. These are positive things. These are things of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, our old nature, the old nature in us, does not want us to be like Christ. That's why we have all of these excuses of why we can't do the work of the Lord. Okay? I can't do the work of the Lord because I ain't got no money. My bills is due. I can't do the work of the Lord. I'm sorry. Now, mind you, it's not like you're going out there to work. You just sitting at home saying your bills is due. You can't do the work of the Lord. We have to stop being hypocritical. You see that everywhere. Even in government today, it's hypocritical. We have to stop making excuses. Our old nature, that old girl, she be like, And you said you want to do what? Oh, yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I'm going to go out there. I'm serving. You know what? I think I'm going to wake up today, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to encourage everybody I see, and I'm just going to, just everything that's going to show. My light going to show everywhere. I got the light bright on. Light shining everywhere. Everywhere that I go, light is shining, light shining, light shining. As soon as I get in the car, and then I go to the gas station, and I'm getting ready to pull up in the pump. You know, that lady saw me getting ready to pull up in that pump. And then she cut me off. She cut me off. And all I can say is, woo! All I can say is, boy, you know. Okay, I'm gonna tell you the truth. All I can say is that ish not. She knew doggone well that I was going over there and I was getting ready to pull up in there, and she gonna do it anyway. Now, my game is off. My game is off, right? My game is off. Cause see, remember what my plan was when I woke up this morning, right? So my game is all off now because this woman done threw me off my game. But that is where the awesomeness come in at. That is how you recognize who you are and who you are in Him. Because you say, first thing you say is, forgive me, Lord, that wasn't even right. First thing, ask for forgiveness for what you said. Then ask the Lord to forgive that lady for her not knowing. Isn't that what He said? Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. We have to put that saying into our spirit as well. We have to continually say, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. Why? Because they don't. They can't see Him. If they cannot see Him, they cannot do what He has for them to do. So we have to forgive ourselves, we have to forgive them, and then we got to get back on our game of what we said we were going to do when we left the house that morning. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, this thing is daily, and it's hard every single day. Every day is hard. Somebody always try to take you with that, what is Marlon Brando from The Godfather say? I try to pull out, but they keep pulling me back in. That's your old nature. Just want to keep pulling you back in. To be doing these ungodly forsaken things and saying these ungodly forsaken things and thinking these ungodly forsaken things. Try to pull you back in, but you have to do it every single day. You cannot do it by yourself, so don't think you can. We all need Jesus Christ. Amen? We cannot do this by ourselves. It's hard. It's hard. It's even harder by yourself. It's even harder by yourself. But Christ said, all things, I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. When I am weak, He is strong. And as Pastor, one of Pastor's favorite sons, Lord, why have you come to buffet me? Why have you sent Satan to buffet me? And what Christ says is that, what Paul was saying to Christ, Christ said, when you weak, He said, my grace is sufficient. That is the time that we are in today. We are in the dispensation, the time of grace. Unmerited favor. So it's not that we do anything so right and so perfectly, but just knowing that we believe that Christ is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose on the third day. He has control over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And guess what? Newsflash. Satan has no power over you. in Christ, what the devil got to do with this? Nothing. As Pastor so eloquently always puts it, I think they more scared of him than they is the devil. I have been, I've kind of learned to understand that. Because that old nature and that old boy and this old girl, you talking about Bonnie and Clyde. I'm just saying, we can go there. However, in Christ Jesus, we are made whole.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. We are made whole. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are nothing without Him. Right.
Amen.
The struggle is real, people. The struggle is real. I say that when we bowling, and we ain't bowling, we're jacked that day. Ooh, Lord, the struggle is real. They's like, yeah, you're right, it is. I know it is. I tried my best to throw 10 strikes down there, and I got, what, 4, 3? The struggle is real. Except for Miss Sister Louise. Big shooter. She shot very well Wednesday night, by the way, folks. Very well. I'm proud of her. But guess what? Just like in our struggles when we talk about bowling and everything, guess what? It gets better. You know why? Because you keep grinding. You keep grinding. You don't give up. Every day, new mercies we seek. Do not give up. Amen? Amen. We're not going to give up because our Christ didn't give up. He knew when he was transfiguring, he knew what he had to do. He knew it. That's why he prayed and said, Lord, please, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. That's the human side of it.
Yes.
He showed us that he's human too. He showed us about our human nature. We are inadequate beings. Thanks to Adam. That's how we were made. But in the same breath, I don't think it was really a long pause because he said, but if it be thy will, meaning, if this is what I'm supposed to do, then Lord, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yes.
I don't want to. And trust and believe. I know how y'all feel like me. A lot of times I don't want to. That's my human side. I recognize that. But I keep Sister Girl under subjection because she don't have more power than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell her, you better sit down somewhere. Sit your cell phone over there. I'm trying to love on the Lord right now. And you sitting up here causing all of this havoc. Sit your cell phone. Sometimes you gotta tell our children that. Sit your... Y'all know how we get when they start getting out of hand. Ain't that right, Mother Lindsay? Let me say one more thing here. Let me say just one more thing. But that's how we have to be to our old nature. The old nature that does not love Christ, that has enmity against Christ Jesus. That's how we have to be to that old nature. No. You are not going to make me go back there where I was. Remember before you said, Lord and Savior, I'm a sinner and I deserve death, but I believe and I receive and I accept you into my bosom. And then you're saved, your salvation. Remember your salvation? Okay, remember before your salvation? Remember what you was doing before your salvation?
Amen.
I do. I remember what I was doing after my salvation. Because once you come saved, don't think that everything is just peace and glory. It just ends there. It doesn't. That's where the work really comes in at. That's when you really got to work hard. Every day, fighting that old nature. Every day, the job gets harder and harder and harder. You think you got problems on your job that you go see the man at. No. The job that is even more harder that Jesus Christ for 33 years and his ministry for 3 years endured is harder than that job that we get paid for. because we take us everywhere we go for the rest of our lives until he calls us home to be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So we know that him representing the humble, incorruptible, invisible Messiah is who everyone needs to see. Is who society needs to see. In me. In you. In all of you. Christ needs to see. Society needs to see him in you. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone on your feet. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Iliaba Kashando Koyaba Kashitiaba Iliandra Makailabo Shitiadaba Kashanda Kiliaba Kashitiaba Kashiti. I came to my people and I rode in on that coat to save them, and I offered them a choice. Choose ye this day on whom ye shall serve. Either you shall choose life or you shall choose another way. But I am the way. There is no other way outside of my way, outside of my precepts, and outside of my concept. That is why I have brought forth this word unto you. You call it the Bible, but I have brought it forth from the beginning as an instruction so that my people who are called by my name might understand me. I offered them, but there are those who would not take the offer. But I have placed myself within you. You are my vessels that I have called forth. Yes, there is a struggle because the old one is there, but I am the victorious one. I showed them a better way. I came forth to show them that they might love when their heart is full of hate. I came to show them that they might have joy when there is no peace. I came to show them that they may be healed when all will afflict them. For I am the Lord thy God, and I sent my son in human form. In the beginning, we made an agreement that one of us would go down that we might redeem that which was lost. And I have come and I have redeemed. Are ye not saved? And are ye not healed? Are ye not called by my name? I have accomplished that, but there is more work to do. For I have placed myself within you, even as my servant has said. And I am here to show forth my glory to a dying world, to ones who do not understand that there is a better way. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the light. Allow yourself to show forth. Allow me to be seen in my ways and in my truth. Allow me to be seen in peace. Allow me to be seen in love. For I am the Lord your God, and I have created that way, and all that follow me shall see me, saith the Lord.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Yes. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. My God, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's prayer time. Anyone that wants to come down for prayer? Please do so. We are all but vessels. We are all but vessels. We are all but vessels. Now, I'm about to do something different here. As you can see, I always do. Those that are coming down for prayer, I want you to come across the front and move up some. Back up a little bit. Just a little bit. Right there. I need one line. One line at a time. Let me ask you something. It's my prayer line. Let me ask you something. My brothers and sisters of Christ, these individuals here, Pastor, I need you. These individuals across the front are down here for prayer. Those individuals up in the audience, are we ministers? Are we ministers? Are we ministers? You don't sound confident. Are we ministers? Amen. Sam, come here. Sam, I want you to pray for this young man. Samantha. Samantha, I want you to pray for this young lady. Markeisha. You said we are all ministers, right? We are ministers, right? We all in this together. We can't do this by ourselves. Man. I want you to pray for this young lady. Young lady. Sister Helen, come here.